B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
I just came here to help you raise.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'll just start off here. Look, fellas, I apologize if, you know, I seemed like I was a little short with you after the game. You know, obviously a frustrating game. Down 20 to nothing, didn't do anything well enough. I mean, there isn't really much to say at that point without watching the film. Clearly, we had problems in every area. So, you know, there was no simple answer. And, you know, every play could have been better. Every area of coaching could have been better. Every area of playing could have been better. And any of that would have helped. So, you know, not really trying to be short, but honestly, there wasn't too much to say. I don't know that there's a whole lot more to say now, but, you know, it's not your fault. That was a frustrating game.
Maz, as Dave Portnoy would say, I spat out my coffee and I wasn't even drinking any. I said, say what? What was that, Bill?
It's not your fault.
It's not my fault? It's not our fault?
It's not your fault.
What? Wait a minute. You're sorry? Did he say I'm sorry? Or
not
I,
really
I,
trying to be short.
Or I apologize. I apologize.
Fellas, I apologize.
I apologize? What?
I apologize.
Who was that?
Look, fellas, I apologize.
Look, fellas, I apologize?
I've heard it three times. I still can't believe it happened.
I spat it all out. Whatever I had in my mouth.
It's not your fault.
At the time, I spat it right out.
Look, fellas, I apologize. If,
what?
You know, I seemed like I was a little short with you after the game. Not really trying to be short.
That's the best thing I've heard this month. That was amazing.
Ever.
That was great.
It's like Robin Williams talking to Matt Damon. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not my fault.
What it's do you not mean? Your fault.
What do you mean it's not my fault? I'm the freaking gum on the bottom of your shoe. We're
it's not your fault.
We're scum.
I know what happened, too.
What happened?
Linda yelled at him.
And that's what happened.
I mean, he came off, I thought, real bad. And look, it was a bad loss for them, but this was, you know, for all the crap that we gave Sean McDermott after the Patriots went in there and embarrassed the Bills in their last game, and rightfully so, I thought Bill was like shades of McDermott after this game. He came
not
off,
your fault.
Well, he came off as a big baby.
So he was. He was in full peni mode after that game on Saturday.
Not
he
really
was,
trying to be short.
Which we will relive. But, you know, he's had those before and never apologized.
That was a frustrating game.
So I don't know why or whatever. Maybe there's growth on the part of...
Obviously a frustrating game.
Mr. Belichick there. I don't know. I thought it was wonderful. I'm not even really being that sarcastic. I thought it was a nice moment from him. He gave a good presser today. We'll relive some of it. But
look, fellas, I apologize.
Thank you, Bill. It's okay.
It seemed like I was a little short with you after the game.
We forgive you. We got it.
Shows real growth.
It's not your fault.
No, thank you. I know.
I thought he was tremendous today for him.
Yeah, there was some good insight today.
So tremendous.
Again, we'll get into it.
It's not your fault.
Thank you, Bill. Again, what are our impressions? What are your impressions? Where do you stand today on the Patriots?
It was a frustrating game.
Okay, so what I would tell you is that we went into this game and we've said all year long, we don't know how their passing game is going to be when they get down against a good opponent. Can they come back and win it? What are they capable of? And I think we got our answer. There's a hole there. There's a big hole in their operation, and that is being able to take over a game with their passing game, at least against a good team. And so, to me, you know, they dropped a little in my estimation. Is it over? Does it mean, you know, they're screwed? No, but it does mean that time is dwindling. They have to find a way to make sure that, you know, they can get to a level with their passing game, that they can control games more than they did. And there were other things that went wrong in that game, too. But they got behind 14-0 in the blink of an eye, really, over two series with that blocked punt. And after that, they were running uphill all night. They made a ton of mistakes. They looked like, and the quarterback at the top of the list, noisy stadium, guys jumping offside, illegal, you know, false starts. The whole thing looked affected, and they looked inexperienced in that spot. They looked inexperienced in that spot.
They looked more like the 2-4 Patriots, more than the Patriots that have been on the 7-game winning streak. And what was so surprising is they looked that way after a bye. I don't think it's over for them. They can still go on a deep playoff run. Hell, they could probably still go to the Super Bowl because I think the AFC is still that muddled. But like to Maz's point, you know, I think they're better when they're ahead. I don't know if you can really trust your passing game at a rookie quarterback if you're down a couple of scores. Credit to them for fighting back in that second half, but I thought he was pretty terrible, Mac Jones, in that first half. The special teams issues, I know we'll get into that. The fact that they have 3 block punts this year for a Bill Belichick coach team is mind-blowing. And their issues against the run defensively, well, now that's real. I mean, if you're going to get gashed by practice squad running backs of the Titans, that's bad enough, but this thing, and I know that Taylor's like all world, but they got pushed around at the line of scrimmage defensively in this game, and that's real. We've seen a big enough sample size with that. That's a problem for them.
Yeah, this one was jarring for me a little bit. You know, I'll just reference our good buddy Greg Bedard. He wrote in Boston Sports Journal the lead to his story. He said, "You didn't really think the Patriots were going to win 11 straight games to finish the regular season, and then another 3 in the postseason, 14 consecutive wins, to take home the franchise's 7th Lombardi Trophy, did you?" And my answer is, I was kind of thinking that. I was, actually. At least the regular season component. I didn't have, you know, any sort of Super Bowl win, like locked up and loaded, and I certainly wouldn't have held that against them or been surprised if they had come up short late in the playoffs. But I did sort of think running the table was there for them and was within their grasp. Running the regular season table was in their grasp and something I thought they would probably need to do to go all the way. And so the fact that they didn't and they lost it in the fashion they did was jarring to me. You know, that they really took a step back is what that was.
Absolutely.
I mean, they took a step back. They took a step back as a team. They took a step back in terms of preparation and coaching and the whole thing and the quarterback too. And I don't know if he took a step back because the game before he only threw 3 passes. So it's not like he took a massive step back, but, you know, more sort of validation that he is a rookie. And so at least the status is quo on him. But I think the team in general took a step back. And the stuff you hear coming out of it, like, and again, we'll play the Mac Jones cut. I'm sure you've heard it by now, but he talked about a bad week of practice and us feeling sorry for ourselves. Feeling sorry for yourself, why? And I've heard dribs and drabs of people talking about what it is. Zoe mentioned it again today on Zolak and Bertrand, that they felt sort of slighted by their bye week schedule. And I still haven't had it fully explained to me, so maybe someone can tell me exactly, you know, how many days they had to work that they thought they were going to get off. But it's something like that. It's between the fact that they went into the bye off a Monday night and had to come back and play on a Saturday, that somewhere in there they lost a day or two off? Question mark? Again, someone fill in the blanks. Did they have to work on a Wednesday when normally they would be off, or they had to come back and work on a Sunday?
So they turned into the Red Sox all of a sudden with this kind of bitching?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Like, so what, normally they would come back from the bye on a Monday? Instead, they came back on a Sunday. And again, a question mark. I'm asking because I haven't had it fully explained to me, like what the exact schedule would be. But I'm taking that to mean it's something like that. So instead of getting what would normally be,
They missed a day, Mike. The game that they thought the game was going to be on a Sunday instead of a Saturday.
So instead of getting, 5 days off, they got 4 or 6 instead of 5 or what? Something like that. So it's like, wait a minute. You're counting days off? What are you, freaking talk show radio host in December? Like, you're counting days off?
Josh Beckett.
What are you doing? Right. Yeah, that's a better one.
The Red Sox did this summer. Remember coming back from the All-Star break? They were bitching about having to come back like a day early.
Oh, that's right. Enrique Hernandez.
Yeah.
Like, very good, Murray.
Boy, I'm like, boy, that's not you.
No.
That's not you. And I know we're no longer quite in the no days off era. And it's more chill Bill than anything else. But, you know, the only way is through? What's that cliche, the expression they all use now? Right? I know Bill still believes that and embodies that, and I think that's the Patriots' advantage. I still want to believe, they're harder working than the other team. That's why, you know, they usually look the way they do at the end of the year. And so what, we're going to come back and pout because you didn't get an extra day? Like, that to me is mind-blowing, concerning. And while they kind of played like it, didn't they?
Yes, they absolutely did. Again, you know, and that thing, you know, part of me is reluctant to say they came out flat because Indy went 3-and-out on the first possession. Patriots got the ball. They had a chance to take control of the game, you know, and then committed a penalty that screwed them, and we can get to the details shortly. But then after that is when it started to turn. Even so, that block punt was absolutely mystifying to me. You know, and one of my, you know, I have a friend of mine that said this, and I think he's right. Boy, Josh Bailey does take a long time to get rid of the ball, doesn't he? He just steps up, takes his time, and, you know, here come guys in his face. And so there you go. In the blink of an eye, it's 14-zip. But I said going into the game, I think it was Murray who said, or Jones might have asked me, you know, is this one of those occasions where a local team can benefit from a loss? And I said, no, they don't benefit from a loss yet. They're not there yet. They're fighting for the top seed in the conference. You don't blow games in football to prove a point. Then they came out and played like they played, and Mac Jones came out and said what he said about how they had a bad week of practice. And now I think maybe they did need to get their asses kicked.
Little reset?
Yes, maybe they needed a little bit because they clearly weren't ready to go.
Okay, so what does it mean? What does it mean for the most important thing on this show? Where do they stand now in Maz's head? Do we have something for this, don't we?
Pats, Rams, and Steelers, tell us, Tony, who's a fraud and who's for real? Maz's tears.
Yeah, those are the tears of the clowns.
Maz's tears.
The second tier.
Hold on, let me get my pen.
Maz's tears.
Dallas.
Yep.
Buffalo.
Tennessee.
Maz's tears.
Third tier.
Okay, here we go. Hold on, let me get my pen.
Maz's tears. Tears.
This is something that's been begging for production. Murray came through. What does this mean for your tiers, Maz? Go ahead.
Pats are out. They're not in the top tier anymore. I'm back to my original four. I felt all along that there were four teams in the league that are really on a different level than everybody else, and I'm not telling you they all won this week or played well this week. Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Kansas City, and the Rams. Those four teams, if they play at their peak, I don't think there are any other teams in the league that can match up with them. The Patriots are now on tier two. Back on tier two.
In our show, most of you had them at the end of tier two. Are they a bottom feeder in tier two, or are they a solid tier two?
No, I kind of put them right there in the middle of tier two with a lot of other teams.
How many? Go ahead, give it to me.
Dallas, Tennessee, San Francisco, Buffalo, Arizona, Indianapolis.
Hold on. You have them on the same tier as San Francisco?
Yep.
And Arizona.
So, Niners are playing well.
San Fran now up in tier two.
Correct.
All right.
So I'm sorry. Dallas, Tennessee, San Francisco, Arizona.
Dallas, Tennessee, San Francisco, Buffalo, Arizona, Indianapolis, New England.
Okay, Indy, they deserve to be there. They just beat you. Fine. Buffalo?
Yeah, Buffalo, yeah.
Aren't you a cut above Buffalo? Didn't you walk into their house and beat them?
Not if you lose this week.
Well, but you can't.
You're projecting.
This hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Okay, it was a close game. I think the Bills and the Patriots are pretty even. That's what I'm telling you.
Who's your second team in the AFC?
Oof. Right now, I lean Indy. Right now, I lean Indy. And that's a gap. I'm not telling you that... You know, that is it's a sizable gap between.
You think Indy's better? Or did the Patriots just play like garbage?
I think they're pretty close.
Maz, that quarterback was begging to give that game away.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, listen, I think the quarterback blows. Wentz, I'm talking about.
He was horrible.
He really was. He was dreadful. So, but they won the game throwing five passes. Should we put the coach in the Hall of Fame? Because it's similar to what happened in the...
Yeah, no, I think their coach is pretty good.
So, no, I say that facetiously just because, we're going to dump on the quarterback, I do think that they won in spite of him. And so, look, the running back is all world. He's the MVP of the league right now, if you ask me.
Pats are still in tier one. They're the second team in the AFC. It's just now the gap.
Nope.
I'm with Maz.
The gap in the road is much different, and it's much harder. And so there's a big difference this year, I think, especially 1 and 2 in that conference. It's not like you get the first two seeds get a bye and all things are kind of equal and all Super Bowl teams recently have come from the 1 and 2 seed. It's different. There's a big gap now, but they're still in that top four. Murray's been itching to get him out of there too, so he gets him out of there. We'll get Murray's tears later on. Your tears if you want. Your thoughts on the weekend right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mac, you said it wasn't good practice this week. What happened?
I just think we, starting with me, just the energy was kind of low. Maybe like feeling a little sorry for ourselves because, whatever, we come off the bye and stuff. But not to get into the details, but we just didn't practice well. And that just reflects how we played, and I didn't practice good. And I know a lot of guys on our team felt the same way, so we have to come to work every day and just be positive. And it's one game. It's not the end of the world, but at the same time, we could, we can play with those guys, and they played great, but we also just, shot ourselves in the foot, so we just got to move on from it.
They got screwed out of an off day and had a bad week because of it? Boy, that doesn't sound like them. That was disappointing.
I found his whole post game and talking about this stunning. You have a rookie quarterback going off script like this, saying we were feeling bad for ourselves. I mean, I'll admit, Joe Murray and I doing the post game, we're half listening to these post game press conferences because they're mostly useless. It's a time for us to take a breather. And I heard this and I was like, wait, what? Is this real? Someone's going to get yelled at. I couldn't believe it.
Well,
what was he alluding to again? Are they just mad they didn't get an extra day off?
So Ted Johnson believes that it wasn't off script, that Bill gave him the green light to do it, encouraged him to do it. Bill don't want to call the players out for it, but a team leader, even if he's a rookie, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's the wrong guy. It's better if it's Devin McCourty or Slater, I would suppose. But that's Ted Johnson's conspiracy theory that Bill said, why don't you mention it? And that's why the kid did it. So, and he did it in his usual, Opie Cunningham sort of way. But whether he's right or he's wrong or whether that's it or it's not, it's like, what were you pouting? And if you were pouting about losing a day on your bye week, that is, boy, is that soft.
Yeah, totally.
That doesn't sound like you. Turn your mic on.
Uh-oh.
Or someone turn his mic on. Your light is on. You're not speaking, though. You're not coming through, buddy.
That's not my fault.
Try it again. Hello?
This is what you get for putting the Pats in tier two.
Yeah, that's
Hello?
It.
Hello? Hello?
There it is.
Oh, all right. There we go.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I said.
Me neither. It was good. We missed something good, I'm sure. All right, to your thoughts. Matt in Braintree, lead us off. Go ahead.
I don't know why you're so surprised, Felger. And last week, you did not want to agree with me that we haven't played anybody. This is the first team in like 7 weeks that they ran into. It's a normal team. It's not a Super Bowl team, but they were fully healthy and they got their butts kicked. And the only other team that they beat was Buffalo in the middle of a tornado.
Yeah, I don't believe that they... Well, you jumped off. I was going to talk with you at least a little. I don't believe they got their butt kicked necessarily. I mean, I'm not throwing a parade for them on this, but they outgained them by a pretty substantial margin.
They did, yeah.
I don't know what the first downs were. I don't know if you have it in front of you, but I don't know if they got necessarily their butt. They did in some areas, but they lost the game because they jumped offside.
Stupidity.
On both sides of the ball. They let a free rusher go right up the gut on a punt. They jumped offsides on a field goal miss. They had illegal men downfield. It was penalties, and nonsense like that is why they lost.
Yes, absolutely. Lack of execution across the board.
And I'm going to tell you, they were necessarily the better team. I'm just saying the butt-kicking thing, I think, we kind of self-inflicted. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and look, again, so I think there were things to be worried about in this game. The rushing yardage is one of them. Indy didn't even really dare to throw all that much. I mean, 12 pass attempts.
I still thought they threw too much.
Six per half, okay? So, like, they completed two passes in the second half, the Colts did.
In the second half, they threw too much. In the second half, there was a handful of, I thought, first down throws where they're holding this lead, 17-0, 20-0, and they come out and they're throwing on first down. So what are you doing? Hand it off to that stud back there and run some clock at least. So I thought they threw only 12 times, and I thought that was about six too many, frankly. But, right, so either way, the opposing quarterback completed five passes on you. mean, you got beat for sure. The Colts were the better team for sure, but I don't know if you got like your ass kicked.
So I thought they got pushed in the early part of the game. I thought they were getting pushed around on both sides of the line. Offense and defensive lines were getting handled. But at the end of the day, the part that really worries me is 226 yards rushing to a team that couldn't throw. 226. And I know a bunch of them came on that last play at the end of the game.
67.
Okay, but sorry, they
that's
count.
A lot. That's a lot.
They still count. They gave up too many yards there to a team, again, to a team that you knew was going to run, and they couldn't stop them. And that part worries me because there is a little pattern of that.
That's definitely fair. Brian in Abington. Hi, Brian.
You know who the top three teams are in the NFL and they're going to go to the Super Bowl? Who? And this will get me to my point. The Bucs, the Packers, and the Chiefs. And it's because their coaches can trust them to make a big play in a big spot. And Bill doesn't trust Mac. He proved it this week when he went for it on fourth down. When he didn't go for it on fourth down and kicked that field goal, he had no business kicking that field goal. And he proved it last week when he threw the ball three times. And that you need a quarterback you trust to make it through the playoffs.
Usually.
And apparently, we don't have it.
Well, usually you do, Brian. Usually you do. Sometimes you can get away with it. Every now and then, there's a team that slips through where the quarterback is less than trustworthy. But for the most part, you need it. And that is true. And so most big games here down the stretch and into the playoffs, you're going to lose a quarterback battle. Meaning the check mark's going to go to Buffalo. It's going to go to Kansas City. It's, I don't know what you consider Tennessee to be. Maybe that's a wash. I mean, it's one of the few matchups. Maybe Indy and Tennessee are two of the matchups where you could say, okay, you're probably even there, maybe a little better, you know, given the day. I there's not an NFC team, if you ever got to the Super Bowl, that you would, you know, get the check mark in the quarterback battle. So you're kind of fighting uphill to begin with on that, which is why, for me, having home field in the bye is essential.
Huge.
It's huge. Whether it's weather or just home field or whether or not it's just sitting home for a week. You don't have to. So, like, I thought that was really important for the Patriots. And when they lost it, I lost a little bit of confidence in their ability to go all the way. Kevin in South Boston. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think if there's one thing that we take away from this game that scares me the most is, Murray, you touched on this earlier about the run defense, but that last Jonathan Taylor run to the end zone, Dante Hightower is square to him, and he just whiffs, and it's just not good. That is like, you know, a lot of things. This isn't like the worst loss in the world, but I mean, if there's one thing that scares me more than anything, it's him looking as bad as he looked last night.
That play, they got their ass kicked. That one I'll definitely grant you, and I'll grant you the game they got controlled. But on that play, watch what Quentin Nelson does to Barmore. It's possible that Van Noy might have freelanced and took it in. That just because I was watching with Ted Johnson last night, and he knows all this stuff. Like, Van Noy may have freelanced or tried to make a play, and he sort of vacated his gap. And then Hightower tried to get over there and then obviously overran the play. And so it's like, those are your better players or the ones you rely on. And they just got flat out beat. And it's not like that. It's not like Hightower was in a lot of space with Jonathan Taylor. There wasn't much room there.
No.
And he couldn't get him.
No.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I still think Hightower over-pursued on the play because he had McCourty on his right. So if he just stays a little farther left, Taylor's got to go up the middle between the two of them, and they should be able to converge and stop him. You have two instead of one. He went too far the other way, and he opened up the jump cut to the right. And then Taylor just, you know, blew by him. But Barmore, watch one of the sneaks where Wentz, you know, squeaks by. Might have been the last one. And Nelson had Barmore 3 yards down the field.
I'm telling you that, I mean, Quentin Nelson's a badass.
He is a man.
And I'd get Barmore away from him. You know,
Barmore's better in the pass game than the run.
The only thing that Wentz did well in that game was his quarterback sneaks. He does have a nice little knack for it, timing of it, feel for it. It also helps to have Quentin Nelson there at left guard. He's good. And
hey, Quentin.
Yeah, there you go. Irsay knew what he was talking about. The caller mentioned that decision to kick the field goal late instead of going for the end zone on 4th and 7. We'll get your thoughts on that decision making by Belichick after Big Jim Murray gets you updated.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the place Boston sports fans come to get some positive vibes for their teams.
Anything but. It's time to panic.
Well, maybe not. Now, back to reality with Felger and Maz.
Third and goal from the two here in the fourth, trailing by 13. Single back is Stevenson. Jones under center in a tight set. Perry to the left. Myers to the right. Now, early movement.
But you're jumping, though, on defense.
False start. Number 71, offense.
Michael Luenu called for the false start.
Third down.
The Pats have now been penalized eight times for 50 yards. It's been a major difference in this game.
Stupid penalties at the most critical times.
Still a lot of time left in this game at the 9:08 mark.
Yes, Corey, though.
With the amplified sound of this Indianapolis crowd. A third and goal to go from the seven. Snap back to Jones. Drops back. Looks to the end zone. Pocket closing down. Mack drops back. He fires toward the end zone for Henry. And it's over his head, incomplete. Nick Folk, the Patriots place kicker, starts off the sideline. He will continue onto the field.
Henry's out. Oh, man. So, good math.
You need seven here, don't you?
Still 9 minutes to go, and the Colts offensively
stink.
Haven't done a lot. Yeah. Wentz has been less than stellar, let's say, for much of the night. The Patriots defensively have allowed only 189 total yards in this game.
The penalty
this will be
killed
a 25-yard field goal try. Snap in place. Folks kick lifted to the uprights, and the kick is good. So the difference is 10. 8:57 left. Colts 20. Patriots 10.
So thoughts on that sequence. And I thought the two biggest penalties you had were that false start on Owenu to push you back out of go-for-it range, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the two. That made it now from the seven. So Bill decided not to go for it from the seven. I thought that was one of the biggest penalties. And then you jumping off sides on their field goal attempt, which is Mickey Mouse, Herm Edwards, New York Jets bullcrap.
Absolutely.
That is second tier NFL swag, that kind of penalty. But your thoughts on Belichick kicking the field goal there?
I didn't have a problem with him doing it when he kicked there. I know a lot of people did. I didn't. Because, again, once they went back to five, I found myself saying, Jesus, just kick it. Take the three, kick it, Indy's going nowhere, and you only need a field goal. So even if you get a minute left with no timeouts, you can kick the field goal inside. Folks been good. You can do that at the end of the game. You see it constantly. So I really looked at it as you still just need one touchdown. You can still do it. I didn't have a problem kicking the field goal there.
Neither did I. I thought it was actually the complete correct thing, especially after that false start. That kind of killed the momentum a little bit. But then again, their defense was playing very well, I thought, in the second half. You would kind of kept Taylor in check in that second half. And more importantly, Carson Wentz was just begging to give the game away. So take the points. I had no issue with it.
He was right. I sort of felt it at the time, and the more I think about it, the more I think he was right. He was justified because while it certainly didn't work in the end because you gave up that long run to Taylor, it sort of kind of worked out the way he had mapped out right before the Taylor run is right about where you had it. And they just, again, go back and give it to you. So he kicks the field goal with 9 minutes left. That makes it a 10-point game. You kick it away to Indy. Now, they picked up a couple first downs, and that initial Indy drive went a little longer than you probably wanted it to. They picked up a couple first downs. They converted their last fourth and one, their last quarterback sneak. They decided to sneak it on fourth and one from their 43, and it was a real one. Some of those earlier quarterback sneaks were, half a yard, inches, whatever. This one was a yard, or over a half yard anyway. That was a real, and it was close. It was close. You almost stopped him.
Wentz did a good job on that sneak. He pushed and got it.
Like I said, it's the only thing Wentz does well is he sneaks.
So, Mike, just quickly before you go on, think of it. They were on the 43, and it's fourth down. Bill got what he wanted.
Exactly.
He got what he wanted.
And it was within inches.
But Frank Reich went for it. Right? A lot of coaches will punt there.
That's a good point.
Reich went, and they kept the ball.
Good point.
So Bill got him in the spot they wanted.
So, right, what Bill wanted was there. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Right. So it went. They picked up a couple first downs, and that drive ended up taking about 5 minutes. Okay, so which is longer than you needed there, but fine. They punt away. You get the ball back with 3:48 left and a timeout in your pocket. You go down and score the touchdown.
In a minute 20.
Bang! Without using a timeout. All right? And then instead of onside kicking, you kick away, which again, I thought was the right call.
So did I.
And Aikman did a good job on the broadcast. The problem was your freaking kickoff was way too shallow.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill, again, we said Bill had a good press conference today. Bill did a good job explaining the whole thing. How about number two, Jimmy? Here's Bill on why he did not onside kick. Again, there was 2:21 left when he brought in Nick Folk. Okay, Bailey is usually your kickoff guy. He brought in Nick Folk there because I guess he's your bloop it guy, or maybe he's your onside kick guy and you're trying to dupe him. But either way, you brought in Nick Folk there and screwed the thing up, as he told you here.
Just on the game, I was just going back through it. I wanted to ask you, how much consideration was there for an onside kick there? I'm looking at it right after the score to make it 20-17. And were you okay with sort? I mean, obviously you kicked it off. Was that sort of the way on the kickoff? Were you looking for a higher kickoff, deeper, or was it just sort of well returned by them the way that unfolded?
No, it was poorly executed on our part. That wasn't what we were looking for at all.
Either
you pin them back and play the extra yards of field position, you know, tackle them on a 20 and gain 5 yards of field position, and we need a field goal, or you touchback it and keep the extra seconds on the clock. We did neither. We didn't get the field position, and we wasted 5 seconds, which at the end of the game is another play. So, like a lot of things in the game, it was bad coaching, bad playing, bad execution, just not good enough.
Got it. He's right. You know, you either put Bailey out there and blast it through the back of the end zone. No time comes off the clock unless the opponent returns it. So he blasts it out of the back of the end zone, and you keep 2:21 on the clock. Or if you're going to let them have a kickoff return, you pop it up inside the five.
Right to the two.
And gain the field position, as Aikman rightfully said in the moment. So the Colts started their drive with 2:16. Okay, 2:16 instead of 2:21. You had a timeout. All right, they run it into the line. You call a quick timeout. When Jonathan Taylor lines up on 2nd and 8 at their 33 with 2:11 left, you still have it where you want it. If you stop them there, it goes to the 2-minute warning. They run one more play. Now you get the ball back with about 1:10. Minute 10, no timeouts, but only needing a field goal in a dome. Doable.
Yes, 100%.
The decision not to go for it was justified. They just didn't. They didn't follow through with it on the field.
Yeah, I didn't have a huge problem with the way Bill did it at the end of the game. If you're going to say where the mistake was, kick it out of the end zone. What are you doing? Just kick it out of the end zone. Don't even introduce the variable. Control it.
Or tackle Jonathan Taylor.
Well, right. So, but I'm even talking about
before. No, you're right.
Instead of giving him the ball to 31, give him the ball to 25, kick it out of the end zone, save the time. Here's the other thing, Mike. If you do stop him with 2:15 left versus 2:11, with the 2-minute warning, you might be able to squeeze in 3 plays there. It's tight. But you might. So they called the first one at 2:11, right?
Yep.
It was like, so that was fast. So if you can get the guy on the ground quickly on the second play and call another timeout, now there's 2:01.
You only had one left.
Oh, you only had one left. Sorry. My mistake. But even so, I still say the same thing. Kick it through the end zone, no, save the time.
Bill's right. You either are saving time there or field position, and you did neither. That was it was lack of execution or maybe a bad call or what? I don't know. Folk did a bad job on that, or is a bad call from the sidelines. But I think Bill was right not to kick it there. Does it show a lack of faith in Mac Jones? Well, yeah, sort of, kind of. If you have Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, you're probably going for it. Or Brady, you're going for it on 4th and goal at 7. So Mac Jones isn't those guys, which, like, we all know. Pretty much, you know, outside of that top tier Maz of quarterbacks, I'm kicking there, right?
Yeah, I told you, I didn't have a huge problem with the way Bill did it. What I didn't like was the kick. Just kick it through the end zone.
The kickoff.
Kick it through the end zone.
So there's that. We'll get back to your phones in a long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Don't thank
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Obviously, we didn't do anything well enough to win. Didn't play well, didn't coach well. Too many penalties, fumbles, interceptions, over 200 yards rushing. Played from behind the whole game, so.
Coming off the bus, have to do coming off the line.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, maybe you know what went wrong. I don't know. So obviously, we didn't do anything well enough. Like, I don't know how else to say it.
Bill, what did you see on the block punt?
We didn't block the guy.
Did you feel like tonight is an aberration, or is there something about your team that you feel like you learned tonight?
We didn't play well tonight.
I guess what I'm asking is, do you feel like...
I don't know. Like, I didn't even play well tonight, all right? I mean, it is what it is. Didn't coach well. Didn't do anything well. So, we got to do everything better than we did tonight.
You get an explanation for the Kyle Duggar rejection?
Yeah, you should talk to Carl. Don't we have a pool reporter that goes and talks to him, right? Yeah, well, go talk to him. I mean, he's the one that made the call. Like, there, to talk to him about it. I mean, I'm standing 50 yards away. We didn't play well. We didn't coach well. We didn't play well. We didn't coach well. Look, I said it like five times. I could just say it another five times. We didn't do anything well enough to win tonight. I don't think we coached or played well enough to win tonight across the board. Everyone. All of us. All right, we're good. Anything else?
That was Belichick on a Saturday night, right after the game. Full peni mode. Which, to his credit, he acknowledged today in truly one of the more stunning opens to his press conferences I've ever heard. I used to cover the guy. He'd be down there every freaking day. He never did this when I covered the team.
Look, fellas, I apologize if, you know, I seemed like I was a little short with you after the game.
It's like you'll wake up the next day after a little scrap with your wife and you apologize at the breakfast table like, who's this guy?
Yeah. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault, he says.
Someone said something to him, I'm telling you.
Or,
someone said something
to him. Well, he's not above a little self-realization.
Not really trying to be short.
Thank you, Bill.
Oh, he was. He was a massive Hogan after the game the other night. He really was. Although I'll tell you what, after Jones spoke, I changed my mind. I don't remember who went first. But I think Bill
went first.
Okay, so that's why then I changed my mind. Because as soon as Jones said we didn't have a good week of practice, I said Bill's pissed at the team. That's what it is. Like, and look, that's what it was anyway. But I mean, it almost validated him being irritated. Like, how could you guys have a crappy week of practice when you now have the conference in your hands?
I'm still stuck on the fact he apologized to the media.
It's not your fault.
It's not our fault. I'm sorry, fellas.
Look, fellas, I apologize.
I had a hair across my ass.
He was. Oh, God, was he a dick.
God bless him, though. Yeah,
obviously, a frustrating game.
Yeah, good moment for him today.
Today was one of the best press conferences he's ever had.
Seriously.
Not your fault.
I thought it was great.
No, like, he gave real insight into that, you know, not kicking. I'm not going for it on 4th-and-7, kicking the field goal, how they screwed up the onside kick. Like, he gave insight into that.
Yeah, he actually treated the media like people. Unbelievable.
All right, back to your phones. Matthew in Tampa on this very topic. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hi, hello. I was listening to that presser also, and it's really annoying how Patriots fans rip the media when they're trying to do a job to get us more content.
It is annoying.
And
I agree,
Bill
Matthew.
Came across, and he said, had a great press conference today after that horrible one yesterday. So I think Patriots fans are complete idiots.
Oh, when it comes to Patriots fans cheering on Bill or anyone down there being jerks to the media, Patriots fans are total a-holes about it. Ridiculous. Babies. Big babies. Totally. Well, that's a whole side topic. We don't need to go there today. But I concur. Matt in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I remember there was a caller this year or last year talking about how they'd, you know, basically drive N'Keal Harry out of town for a cigarette. And I'm ready to do that for Isaiah Wynn. I've had it with this bum. Maz has been right for a long time now. His name should be changed to Isaiah Lose. That message should be passed along to the pro shop out at Gillette. They should put Lose on the back of his jersey because the guy is a freaking bum. I would drive him to freaking Logan right now and ship his ass out to wherever, Jacksonville,
okay,
for a pack of cigarettes to rip on the way home. This guy sucks.
All right, I hope you have a big car for it. He's a big fella. Isaiah Lose, put Lose on the back of 76.
Oh, yeah. So there were two plays that really stuck out to me in the game. One was when DeForest Buckner absolutely undressed him.
Wow.
Okay, like, boy, that guy can play too. Indy's got some good players on defense. And then the other one was when the guy ran by him and he turned around and ran into
the- Yeah, turned right back into Brandon Bolden. Nope. You shall not pass. That one was, that was butt fumble.
It was. I thought the same thing, Murray. The same. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Same thing. That was butt fumble-esque.
It was
absolutely
that level of embarrassing. I couldn't believe what I saw.
It was comical. It was embarrassing is what it was, especially because now even when you, if you want to do that, you can't touch anybody. You can't block anyone with facing your own end zone. Those blocks are illegal now. I don't know if that's the same in the tackle box or not. Either way, I wouldn't have done it. It looked foolish.
Oh, he looked like Curly Howard. Turn around, run into your own running back. Holy crap.
Ryan and Malden, go. That was my fault. Ryan and Malden, go.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I'd like to talk about the punt of Bailey, who obviously did not have a good game against the Colts. And been having an uncharacteristic year, a bad year. I mean, three blocked punts this year, and I'm wondering how you guys feel. They should try to get someone else in there, try to get a different punter, because there's obviously something going on with them.
But are we really right to be blaming Jake Bailey on that?
No, that's Jakob Johnson. He olayed the guy that blocked that punt. He didn't even make an effort. It was all on Jakob Johnson.
He did. He whiffed. He totally whiffed on the block. At the same time, if you go back and watch it, it feels like he kind of really moves up a lot. Like, and I got to watch him where he does take time getting rid of the ball, but also, and maybe it's because the line got pushed. Like, I'd have to watch it more closely, but it felt like he walked right into it at the same time.
Matt and Maine, what do you got?
So two things, one on Mac Jones and one on the defense. So Mac, the one thing I worry about with Mac, and much to Gasper Sugarman, that you can say he's a good quarterback, but he's also a rookie, is that they got down quickly, and like you guys said, the offense turned into just a jittery mess. And this is where I fear Mac as a rookie, because he just doesn't have the experience to lead them when they get down early like that or get down quickly. And also, as much as the defense, you know, had the bad run at the end of the game, they really didn't get that push. They didn't get pushed around that much, like you guys said. Were they great? No. But were they bad? Absolutely not. If you take out the 67-yard run, and I know you can't, it's hard to take it out, but they only let up 3.3 yards a carry before that, the whole game, against the best running team in the league, against a guy who's running rampant all over the NFL. So were they great? No. But if you told me that they're going to only let up 3 yards a carry going into that game, I would have said you had a pretty good chance to win that game.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, fair enough. I mean, yes, on the one hand, yes. On the other hand, in two of your last four, I don't know, when was that Titans game? You've played teams with no quarterback play and no real threat of a passing game. You knew that they could only do one thing, and they still kind of did it to you.
Exactly.
So I think that's what's most concerning. I mean, that the 67-yarder, you say take it out, but you had eight guys in the box. You knew they were running. You were loaded up to stop that very thing, and you couldn't stop it.
So, it's exactly what happened in the Tennessee game.
Right. So that is concerning.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened in the Tennessee game. And I would also tell you, there have been, if you go back to the beginning of the year, they had chances in those first couple of games to get the opponent off the field at the end of the game and give their offense a chance. And they didn't do it in any of those games either. So, like, look, did it get better as the year went along for a while? Sure, yes. But now it's regressed again. I mean, they, you know, when the other team's running and they get almost 3.5 yards of carry, I think they're doing okay.
And he brought up Mac Jones just quickly. You know what I thought his worst moment of the night was? The delay of game early. There
yes.
was 13 seconds left on the play clock. And I don't know what the hell he was doing. And then thankfully the camera flashes right on Josh McDaniels. And I think verbatim what he mouthed was, "What are you doing? Look at the effing play clock."
I mean, how many of those did they have? Jump off sides deep in the red zone. Jump off sides on the field goal block. Illegal men downfield. And when I say illegal men, I do mean plural. because that first one,
the whole right side.
I can't remember who got flagged, but the entire offensive line.
Ms. Mason, who got the penalty on it.
But there were three guys.
Yeah.
Who could have been flagged on that?
That was a big penalty.
Literally, offensive men downfield. I mean, and again, how many of those did you have all game long? So that to me was the story of the game. Not ready to go. Not ready for prime time, as they say. Does that apply to the quarterback? We'll get to some Mac Jones thoughts after Murray gets you updated. 90 seconds, no commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.